The Markley Van Camp and Robbins Show. Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, Scott Robbins. What, your story coming up? Just a few. we were going to break. We got done. I said to you fellas, I think I just said, what, your story?
Yeah.
It's now the Jasmine Van Camp and Robbins Show now.
What's your story coming up? Is what I meant to say.
What, your story in an hour?
What, your story? Yes. Better believe it. Oh, my goodness. Mentioned we need socialists in the Democratic Party. That's what Cory Booker said.
Oh, yeah. Well, they're all the people who think they're going to be president someday are trying to thread this needle. I don't know how they think they're going to accomplish this, considering the people they're trying to placate hate them.
Just yes, they
absolutely do. Hate them. But Democrat Senator Cory Booker, he's embracing the communists who keep winning elections in his party.
Okay.
We see people in our country that have the courage to stand up. We should applaud that and celebrate that.
Really? Interesting.
A lot of people right now are trying to paint the Democratic Party and insinuate division and differences before us. I'm one of these people that believes very clearly. If everybody in your coalition agrees with you on everything, then your coalition isn't big enough.
Well, so all the conservatives that didn't like the shutdowns during COVID, you would welcome them, right?
Right.
Right.
Sure, Corey, anything you say.
You see, we as Democrats think diversity is a strength, not a weakness.
Oh, boy.
We are folks that think diversity is one of those things that brings together a chorus of conviction and ideas that help to make us strong.
Oh, God. The chorus of conviction?
Dude, I again... Mm. Go talk to Scott Wiener, state senator in California, about how your what is it? If you don't have enough diversity of thought, you know, your coalition isn't big enough. Well, dude, there is nobody more closed-minded than these socialists. They're
100%.
Just they're using you. They hate you, and they will jettison you the second they get an opportunity to do so.
Yeah, you're just a tool to get them to go where they want to go.
Yes.
That's what it is. They've said so.
Well, there's no loyalty there. No.
And I know you mentioned, you know, different people in the Democratic Party that think they're going to be president someday. I'll tell you, this is all I could think. Hearing somebody like Cory Booker or Chris Murphy parrot some of the same points, they're captured.
Yeah.
And they got their marching orders. Here's what you're going to go say. Mm-hmm. This is what you need to do. They can't be that dumb. They just don't believe it.
Well, I don't know about that, but I think they might be able to be that dumb. But,
yeah, it's possible.
You know, particularly with Papa Cobble.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe. And then you have a clip from a communist candidate, David.
Yes. One of the next ones who's trying to take over a deep blue district. Melat Kairos is another one of these communists who's running to unseat a congressional incumbent in a very deep blue district. It's in Colorado's first district. And as part of a running theme with these candidates, she too believes that America kind of had it coming on 9/11.
Okay.
Do you believe that the 9/11 terrorist attacks on America were the inevitable consequence of American foreign policy?
Inevitable in the sense that we destabilized a lot of the Middle East. That forced people to believe that another act of violence was the only response. And again, just like I said before, our responsibility is to getting rid of those conditions that lead to violence in the first place.
There you go. That's all you need to know.
Okay. Yep. All right. Yeah. They'll be peaceful about it. No problem. We'll break
bread. We had it coming.
Yeah. Well, you know.
I mean, think about what a lot of these candidates have said, because most of them have said something similar to that when asked about it. When they've had the opportunity to talk about it. And, you know, we're looking at, 25 years since the 9/11 attacks. You have these people running and, in a lot of cases, winning primaries, at least. And in these districts, that means they're probably going to just win the election because it's so deep blue.
Oh, yeah.
And then, you know, New York City itself. The current mayor is a foreign-born Muslim communist.
Mm-hmm.
Try telling people that 25 years ago, that this is where we'd be.
I've already seen people write about it. We've talked about it. It's remarkable what's happened in 25 years' time. But that's how fast it can change, especially when you've got a whole group of people indoctrinated. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people just didn't see it coming, either what was taught or not taught in school, and then the universities running out of control, and then the import of so many different people. You put that all together, and that's how it can happen in 25 years' time. It's truly remarkable.
It is.
And sad. And that's the thing. You can see it spreading all over the place. I don't think America's ready for it yet as far as the whole socialist takeover, especially when you look at the polling that we talked about last week. I mean, even Harry Enten was like, okay, there's still 27 points underwater Democratic Socialist in the main, but they've made the inroads to where,
well, and the,
I don't know how the Democratic Party is going to wrangle that.
In these deep blue cities, urban areas.
Oh, gosh.
You know, the Democrats always perform well there.
Oh, yeah.
And when you start promising free stuff and Jew hating, well, that helps.
Yeah, it does. It sounds crazy to
say,
but
that's true. Jew hating would be a thing,
I know.
Right? Or would be a benefit in the year,
exactly.
2026.
Yes, yeah. Right. A benefit.
Well, 10 years ago, they tried to position Trump as the Jew hater.
Yes.
Yes. Which is really interesting.
Yeah. All right, it's that time. We do it a couple of times a day. Go around the table. May not be the biggest story out there, but it caught your attention. David, what's your story here?
All right, a yearbook from a middle school in New Jersey had to be recalled. Did you see this story?
I did.
So Eastbrook Middle School had already given students the yearbook, and someone noticed a weird-looking photo in the baby pictures section. Like, it looked a little too old. And they're like, what is this? Well, they looked it up, and turns out it was actually a photo of Adolf Hitler as a toddler.
Yeah.
That somebody,
holy smokes!
Somebody that one passed the goalie.
Snuck in there. Yeah, they put out a statement saying, yeah, we collected the yearbook so the image would not remain in circulation. The principal said, I want to be direct with you. The presence of this image is unacceptable. Even if the image was not immediately recognizable, its inclusion in an official school publication is a severe breach of our values.
Yeah, nobody knew who it was.
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't be able to, you know, show me a picture
not.
Of baby Hitler. I don't know what Hitler looked like as a baby.
No.
Oh, I do now.
Yes, exactly.
Yearbook.
Yeah.
Man, oh man.
But some knucklehead did this as a spoof.
Yes.
You know, it's like you try to get Alfred E. Newman by, but it was too obvious.
Did you ever know of anybody that tried to do something for a yearbook picture? What'd they do?
The picture of the teams, like where you're sitting down.
Yeah.
There's guys behind you. They had their finger like this.
Oh, so they were flipping the bird
upside down.
Yeah. Did they get in trouble for it?
You know, I think the thing is, I think the guy was a senior, and I think he was graduating anyway.
Got it.
But by the time the yearbook came out, which is always after school, of course, it was at my school anyway. So it came out during the summer, and you went up and got it, you know, or picked it up.
Right, yeah.
But, yeah, by then it was gone.
Yeah, there was suspensions threatened, and I'd have to explain what the sign was. It just looks like a C, like with your hand, but it looks like you're holding something.
Okay, got it. Yeah.
You know, that would be rather large.
Yes. Yes.
A few guys may have done that.
Yeah. You try to get something by them all the time. Usually got caught. Because yearbook staff, I mean, these guys would look at every single picture. You know.
This made it to the yearbook.
Yeah, good stuff.
And we were threatened. I mean, the people that were involved were threatened.
Yeah. You weren't.
No.
You didn't.
Those bad kids were.
Yeah, you.
Those pranksters.
You weren't goading them on to do it. No, not at all.
I was not part of it, as far as you know.
That's right.
Scotty, what's your story for What's Your Story?
Former NBA guard Malik Beasley is in the news, or Malik, how do you say that? Malik Beasley. He's been indicted on federal charges stemming from a alleged sports betting scheme.
Hmm.
Yeah. Federal grand jury in the Eastern District of New York returned to the indictment on the 24th, charging Beasley, former NBA player Ed Davis, current player Paul Zamorano, and other men with, I can't pronounce his name, with conspiring to wire fraud, bribery, all kinds of stuff. It seems Beasley would call the guys that he was talking to, the criminals, before the games and say, yeah, take the under on me in rebounds tonight, or take the over on me in rebounds tonight. And then he would, of course, miss rebounds or not go up for him to get him.
Right.
If he was nearing the number. And they
just
wanted to,
off the tip of his finger, just right, couldn't yeah, quite just grab couldn't that
quite,
one down.
Couldn't quite corral it. So
whoever saw this coming?
Showering right. in Crisco before the game.
Exactly. So bribery, insider schemes, and they've been all kinds of federal charges are being levied against these guys, and him in particular, because apparently he was the one, too, that was also doing with points. He would shave points.
Gee, what?
You know, again, this is a guy who was in the NBA as recently as 2024. So, I mean, it's not like these guys are working for $180 a week, you know?
I know.
But it's not enough.
No. Well, and there's different story for each one of these guys and how much they can actually make doing this.
Yeah.
Extra.
And all also, right. Some of them were free throws.
Or just clanging them.
Yeah, just clang free throws. I'm going to hit 2 tonight out of my 10 or whatever I get.
If you're a career 82% free throw shooter and you go 2 for 10 one night, how do you explain that?
Bad night, you know.
Broken finger?
This bad night shooting.
I had a headache. I had a migraine. Couldn't quite focus on the rim. I don't know.
I was the clown that was waving his hands in the air.
I would love to know, and I'm distracted. Sure AI could probably tell you.
Yeah.
A career 82% free throw shooter, what's his worst night free throw shooting ever? I'll bet you it's nowhere near 2 out of 10.
Well, I don't know how you predict that, though, because it would be like a great hitter that strikes out 4 times in a game or something, you know?
No, that's completely different. That can happen.
Oh, yeah, it can happen, yeah.
Making 2 out of 10 when you're an 83% free throw shooter, no way.
Well, they got caught.
Jessica Simpson was in the house, you know? What you say?
Right, and she was right behind the goal. And
got it.
She stood up and was dancing. And what do you want me to do?
For my story... This is about Dr. Stephen Quay, who has just released a book, The Code as Witness, How the COVID Genome Reveals Its Lab Origins, How to Prevent the Next Pandemic. Okay? And what he is saying is this. There's no way this thing came from nature. Okay? And you get into the stuff that's really heady, that's beyond a lot of us. But he's just talking about the sequence in the furin cleavage site of the spike protein, that this specific genetic code, which optimizes the virus for human transmission, is like beyond rare in natural coronaviruses, but is common as far as a tool in laboratory gain-of-function research. And he was interviewed talking about this, and this is what he said.
There's been a lot of what I would all call he said, she said, evidence around where the virus came from. So we have virologists talking about that it came from a market publicly, and then through FOIA and other means gotten access to their private statements where they say, gosh, this could really have been engineered in a laboratory. I don't use that evidence. I use the evidence inside the virus itself, because that's apolitical and really is the best place to find the evidence. This virus has features that have never been seen in thousands and thousands of viruses from nature.
Never been seen. Yeah.
And then it's a longer interview. Trust me, he lays it out. But again, there's just no way this has happened from nature, which is basically what we've known for a while.
Yeah.
But what half the country will never understand.
Dude, the lying that went on.
Yeah, something.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes. Well, he said all these people that said, oh, yeah, there's no way it came from nature, went out in public and said, oh, it may have came from nature because they were pressured.
Right.
It's wild. All right. News update and Nimrod's in the news in just a few minutes.